Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I hear this morning, Alex is the healed of the Lord. Amen. And nobody else in the Dagnino family got it. Hallelujah. How many of you have a big family? That's a miracle in and of itself, right? Whatever the enemy is trying to do doesn't go around. Y'all are anointed with all good. We've been praying for you, and God's good. I'll tell you, this time of year, people are exposed to a lot of things. But can I encourage you in something about that really quick? It's not even my message today. You ought to get up and celebrate the atonement of Christ and plead the blood over your body, over your family, over your kids, over your home. Amen? Because, I mean, we're out and about, and we're rubbing shoulders with a lot of people, and the enemy loves to take advantage of something, just put something on you just to really mess up your holiday. And so just stand against it, because the blood of Jesus does stand against these things. And I know sometimes in my life, whenever I do battle some things, sometimes I realize sometimes I maybe got a little bit lazy about that. But I tell you, there's something about, taking, that's why a lot of people like to take communion real often. And just to apply the blood, amen, to the doorstep of your heart and to your life and your family, and especially over your children. Pray over your kids and help them understand that too as we go forward. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I'm excited. We're a little weary and tired from just a lot going on the last few days and trying to get things ready. But you'll get to see the new wall, which is not painted yet and not trimmed out yet. But to give you an idea of what we're going to be doing next door, and we hopefully truly hope intend to be in there next week. So that'll be good. No more setup and tear down. Hallelujah. So anyway, I want to tell you, this has been a blessing to use this facility. Amen. So I want you, every time you think of the healing rooms and Dave Stewart and the gang, always bless them and pray for them, and let's be thankful and grateful for this time to be able to use this facility. And but God has another place for us, and we're going to keep moving forward in the Lord. Amen? Now, I shared with you last week about the prophetic promises about Jesus' coming. And I know a lot of times we can get into that, and we can tend to think, well, that just kind of applies to when he came initially. Some of you, everything prophetically the Lord has ever done through Jesus, it actually carries forward into his life and ministry and into the ministry of the church today, because we're his body and he's the head. Amen? And so when you start to understand that, you begin to realize these prophetic promises and purposes of Scripture about the Lord, when we celebrate Christmas, when we celebrate his resurrection around Easter and the first fruits and all of that, it speaks into our lives. Amen? It's not just a story for us to know and to tell. I love to tell the stories. But it's more than that. There's a prophetic significance to everything in Scripture to our lives. Amen? How many believe that? There's a prophetic significance because the Word of God doesn't go bad. It doesn't grow stale. Right? The Word of God endures forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the Word of the Lord will not. So it's still a word. And any word that's ever been spoken into the eternal realms of the kingdom, in the realm of the Spirit, it doesn't go bad. It doesn't grow moldy. Amen? It's still good. Say it's still good. And that's why I have a problem when people want to explain away things they say we can't have today that the early church used to have. And I'm like, it doesn't measure up to the truth, the plumb line of Scripture. Amen? And so that's what we want to stand for today and celebrate for all that God has. Jesus came and it was prophesied he would be born of a virgin, correct? It's some 700 years before it happened. Isaiah prophesied. We looked at that verse last week. His name will be called what? Come on. We're all friends today. Emmanuel, meaning what? God is with us. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you believe he's still Emmanuel? And he's still with us today by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes, he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, his Father. But he's also, he and the Father are with us today in their Holy Spirit. Amen? He's come to be with us. He shines his light on those who are in darkness. I don't care what kind of darkness, what kind of oppression you're going through. If you'll open up your heart like we were doing today in worship, he will shine on you. Amen? And when he shines on you, he takes you out of darkness into light. Out of blindness, out of not knowing, groping about in the dark, into light and revelation and clarity. Anybody would like to have that in your life? We need that as a church, do we not? And what God's calling us to do. And he also promises that he will multiply us. Hallelujah. Amen? Let's believe for multiplication. And I love this. Increase our gladness and joy. How many know we could all use an increase of gladness and joy? Amen? Because without it, we don't have strength. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And he will increase our gladness and joy in two ways. This is where we left it last week. Number one, with his presence. Everybody say presence. How many know the joy of the Lord is in the presence of the Lord? But there's another aspect that was brought forth in the prophet Isaiah's book, and that is that he would increase our gladness with harvest. Amen? Amen? With the harvest of souls, with reproduction. Amen? The great joy that comes from that. Hallelujah. And so that's what the Lord promises. Here's the thing I keep hearing in my heart. There is a greater joy that not only do we have the joy that when we freely receive from God, but there's a greater joy not only that we receive Jesus, but we give. Amen? How many know it truly is more blessed to give than to receive? He's not saying not receive. We all have to receive to be saved. You have to receive to get your healing. You've got to receive. But to be a blessing, the greater blessing and the greater joy is in giving. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, go back with me to a verse that we looked at that we're all so familiar with. In Isaiah 9, verse number 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. Notice, the child will be born and he will be given to us, say to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. After all, he's still the head. He's still the Lord. Amen? And his name will be called, let's say these names together, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. And I love this part. There will be no end. When I say no end, to the increase of his government or of peace. Now notice that. He doesn't just establish it. He increases what he establishes. That's the way the kingdom works. If it's kingdom, it's increasing. Hello. Hallelujah. And so if something good in your life is not increasing, we need to contend before God and figure out what we need to do to get that working in our lives and going forward. And to not settle for staleness, stagnancy, especially don't settle for loss. But to increase, say increase, of his government of peace on the throne of David over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and, what's the next word? Forever, say it, forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. How many of you glad you have some zeal? How many of you know when God gets his zeal involved, things get done? Amen? I mean, the enemy's not really intimidated by my zeal, but he is intimidated when the zeal of the Lord Jesus rises up in me. Amen? Because it's no longer I who live. Jesus lives through me. And there's a zeal that's supernatural that I believe the Lord wants us to enter into. Because these things aren't going to get done by our might and our power, but by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen? So the zeal of the Lord will see to it that his kingdom is established and his kingdom is increasing. And that gladness will continue. Because again, I say it again, he is still Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? And the joy of his presence is with us. But also, here's what I want to encourage you with, and I'm especially speaking to all of you, but especially to the Freedom Gate family here today. God wants us to enter into the joy of increase, of harvest. Amen? Amen? He wants us to enter into that, because there's a dimension of joy that you can't have. I want to be very honest with you about something. I have seen some pretty incredible things in my life. I really have. When I look back, the enemy wants me to think about all the times when I felt like I failed or I hit the wall or stepped out in front of the bus. We've all been there, right? The enemy wants you to think about all those disappointing things and be frustrated. But I know the great things I've seen and the miracles that have taken place. And sometimes I just start crying. And I love that. And I love when somebody calls me and said, I got prayer Sunday and I was healed. I realized this morning, I love that kind of stuff, don't you? But can I tell you, there's a greater joy. There's a greater joy is when people are saved. When people come back to the Lord or give their hearts to the Lord and they become born again. There's no greater joy than that, amen? Because, I mean, even if somebody was dramatically healed physically, if they don't give their heart and life to Jesus, we kind of miss the target of the whole point of it, amen? Amen? So there's a greater joy in harvest. And I really, it actually says in the scripture, Jesus said this, that there is more joy, say more joy, in heaven over one sinner repenting than over 99 righteous people gathering together. Now, he's not saying he doesn't take joy in us gathering together. Don't go off the other side of the ditch with this thing. He is joyous in our gathering. In fact, he promises to be in our gatherings and in the very midst of it. But what brings the greatest joy throughout the courts of heaven is souls being saved. Yes. Prodigals coming home. Amen? Nothing. How many of you, if you had a big family dinner and that long-lost friend or brother or sister or whatever showed up at dinner, we would all just, that's all you'd be talking about. You wouldn't even be talking about how dry the turkey is. You'd be talking about, he came home. You know what I mean? There's, how many of you are ready to see that? Are you serious? How many of you are ready to see that? I love you, but I want more of you. A lot more. Hallelujah. God wants his family to go. Remember the parable of the banquet? The man throwing the banquet and he sent out his servants. And they came back and they said, we've gone everywhere. We've gone to the highways and the byways. And there's still room. He said, we'll get back out there and compel them to come. It's the passion of the Father. I want my house full. Hallelujah. And when this one gets full, we'll get another one. Glory be. And plant another one. Amen. In the glory of Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, in Isaiah 53, reveals to us what we call the atonement of Christ, where he bore our sicknesses and pains and our sins and our iniquities. Amen? It's very clear in Isaiah 53 that Jesus came to pay the price for us to be delivered and healed and born again. Amen? To be atoned for. I mean, be glad for that. Now, that's in Isaiah 53. And Isaiah, when Jesus hung on the cross, do you remember what he said at the end of it all? He said, it is finished. Literally meaning it's been accomplished. And I believe he was pointing to those very scriptures that spoke of him, the 39 lashes upon his back. Amen? That spoke of the piercings in his hands and feet. And it spoke of the beating that he took, the chastening that he took. And Jesus said, it's finished. It's been done. Atonement has been made. Hallelujah. The sacrifice has been made. The blood now has been shed. And anyone now can come and believe. Hallelujah. Phew. Such an anointing. We've heard that all of our lives, some of us. There's such an anointing and power in it when we remember what he has done through the atonement. Amen? We can be forgiven and we can be what? Born again. Hallelujah. How many glad for a new life? How about you? When I got born again, I was ready to trade in the old model. Anybody with me? Hallelujah. Now, some of us like to prop that one up every once in a while. Hello? Kind of like going back to the car dealership and say, can I drive my old car that I traded in last week? Nobody would ever do that. Not if you bought a new car. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Unless you left something in it. But that's another story. But we are called. Say, I am called. We are called to reproduce. We really are. It's in our DNA as men and women of God. It really is. It's children of God. In our Father, we are called to be reproductive for the kingdom of God. How many of you believe that? How many believe that? All right. To be his witnesses, to see multiplication. Because see, can I tell you honestly, that's how the kingdom keeps increasing. You know, I grew up in the Bible Belt, as some of you know, and there's churches on every corner, and there's all types of denominations. And at one time, those big cathedrals were built for people that were going to them. They didn't build them for fun. You know what I'm saying? But even in churches, if you don't reproduce, I mean, eventually, you go to a lot of the old churches, and they're old. People are reaching the latter years of their life, and what happens is you start to see there's no reproductivity, and without reproductivity, suddenly we just now have buildings that are empty, and a generation that's not there. But what happens is, how can the kingdom continue in that region or area if there's nobody there carrying the kingdom within them? You see what I'm saying? Because see, it's Christ in you and in me. And as glorious it is for you and I to be able to go and be with the Lord when we leave these bodies one day, I want to know that there's a legacy of spiritual sons and daughters who still carry the kingdom. Amen? And that we have to be passionate about. Hallelujah? Hallelujah. So as we go through that, I was praying about that. I said, Lord, I even look at churches today, and there's a lot of churches, they call it growth, you know, and they've got nice buildings, they've got fabulous worship and praise and music and maybe a very charismatic personality leading them. And that's all fine and good. I'm not against it. I'm not talking about anybody or putting them down. And I'm saying, we're not seeing a lot of growth by new birth. A lot of sheep are moving around. Hello? But we're not seeing a lot of new birth. And the statistics prove it out. And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer today, but I'm telling you, God is wanting us to believe for a generation that has become void of the gospel. It's time again for harvest. Amen? Hallelujah. It's time like never before. So, we have Isaiah 53. How many know the problem is barrenness? Amen? The problem is barrenness. If you're barren, you don't have a child. Okay? So the problem is barrenness. And yet, in the very next chapter, after the chapter of the atonement of Christ, Isaiah gives us the remedy for dealing with barrenness in Isaiah 54. And I touched on it last week, and we even prayed into it a little bit, but I want to look at it with you today for a few minutes, okay? Isaiah 54, go with me there to verse number 1. Here's the remedy. Are you ready? Shout for joy, who? O fruitful one? No. Shout for joy, O barren one. How many know it's easy to shout when you're fruitful? Hello? It ain't so easy to shout when you're barren. And you feel like nothing's happening, and you don't see any fruit on the vine. Hello? You don't see your efforts paying off for the kingdom of God. That becomes what? A sacrifice. But that's the key for getting out of barrenness. Y'all see it? Let's look at it again. Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud. Now that crying aloud is not boo-hooing. Okay? It just means lift up your voice aloud. Okay? Cry out. You who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one, get this now, will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman. Come on, guys. God is promising spiritual sons and daughters that will be more numerous than the natural birth rate. Hello? He's promising more sons and daughters than they're just being born into the earth. But if we're barren, what do we have to do? First of all, we've got to believe God and start shouting. Amen? And start declaring, I'm not barren, I am fruitful in Jesus' name. Anybody with me this morning? Come on now. Our spiritual sons and daughters are depending upon our faithfulness to win them into the kingdom of God. And we've got to be willing. Again, you got to do it even while you're barren. To believe for the sacrifice. And so, interestingly, he doesn't say we break out of our barrenness with sorrow and crying. We break out of our barrenness with shouts of joy. Amen? That's what breaks you free from your barrenness. You know, Abraham and Sarah, as we know, they didn't have their seed child of promise, Isaac, until they were, she was 89 when she conceived, he was 99. Hello? Okay? Abraham's older than you, Ronald. Amen? And when the child was born, they were 90 and 100 respectively. But here's the thing I want you to see. It said that Abraham, after contemplating their situation, because they never had a kid when they were young, much less beyond childbearing years. I mean, it's a double miracle. Okay? So I don't care, some of you, I don't care how long it's been since you've led somebody to Jesus. You're a child of Abraham. And guess what Abraham does? Abraham has children in old age. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says this, yet with respect for the promise of God, get this, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. How did he grow strong in faith? Not complaining at God, giving glory to God. There it is again. So we see that. And again, we are children of Abraham. He's the father of our faith. Amen? Hello, if you're in Jesus Christ, the blessings of Abraham are upon your life, which means the blessings of reproductivity and many descendants. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. I just want you to get a vision for it. Amen? I love you, but I don't want to be in the same place next year. I love every one of you. But there's more than what God wants to do in our midst. Amen? Hallelujah. And I go to verse 2 now. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Spare not. Everybody say, spare not. And they'll just go crazy. Amen? So anyway, I say, what in the world did you make this kind of preparations for? Because I'm believing big. Amen? Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. Now, how many of you know this is a faith that takes action? I've heard many a prophet, I say many, I've heard as many a times when someone's gotten a word about, I remember when Derek and Becky received their word for their blessing, who they named rightfully Isaac, hallelujah. I think they're over helping today with Susan. But I remember before Isaac was born, they had adopted 3 children. Amen? Reese and Lily and Callie. Yeah. And then she finds out she's pregnant. Like, wow, boy, you're just so blessed. but I remember, I think it was Pastor Hershey, may have said, you need to start getting the nursery ready. He said, if you're believing something, you start preparing for what's coming. Amen? It's a sign of your faith. Put a little action into your faith. Amen? Faith without works is dead. Amen? When I get pregnant, then your nursery is going to probably be incomplete when the baby's born. But there's something about making room and making things ready. Amen? Prepare a place for them. But can I tell you this? We need to also prepare our hearts. Because here's what God's mandate is to all of us in this room. I'm looking at this room, and I know most of you have known the Lord for years. And can I tell you today, what is our preparation beyond just facilities and things like that? Our preparation is our heart, because God's called us to tend to His lambs. Amen? To shepherd them, to pastor them, to disciple them. And our hearts have to be ready for that. Amen? They can't get discipled in the little time we spend on Sunday mornings together. It's going to require us as the body of Christ to tend to. Jesus said, if you love me, Peter, tend to my sheep. Jesus is always about His fold, His sheep, amen, and the gathering together. Hallelujah. So enlargement has to begin within us. We did a prophetic action last week, praying over our hearts to be enlarged, amen. And in stretching out our cords, not only just stretching out the edifice where we meet and all of that, but stretching out our reach to the community, amen, and our reach to other people in the name of Jesus. How many of you feel in your heart that God's calling you to that? I hope you do. But more than anything, we all need to have a sanctified imagination. We need to think bigger, believe bigger, and ask bigger. We really do, because our God can do above and beyond what we ask or think. So I don't want to limit Him in little thinking. Amen? How about the church get to the place it was in the book of Acts, where every day the Lord is adding to our number those being saved? And there's another passage in Acts that says, and the disciples were multiplying. Anybody want to see that? I'm serious. Anybody want to see that? Wave at me. Just let me know I'm in the right house. And then you go next door. Okay, all right, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say above and beyond. But here's the thing, guys. God's house is spiritual. It's a spiritual house. And it's not about brick and mortar. It's about living stones being fitted together. Amen? That's what's really it's about. Now, it doesn't mean that brick and mortar aren't necessary for us, and that we don't need a place to gather. We need a place to train and equip and raise up people and all of that. Not at all. But what I'm saying is the emphasis is on the living stones. And when they become fit together, God begins to take care of a lot of other things for us. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I just want that to be your focus. Now, as I was praying, I felt like at the time, maybe the Holy Spirit was kind of taking me a little off track, and I thought my message was changing. But then I realized after I read it and I kind of put it within my notes, I go, oh, this just fits perfectly. I want to take you to an interesting story. Now, who knows that first miracle seed that came from Sarah's womb was with Abraham? What was his name? Isaac. What did his name mean? He who laughs. Remember when Sarah laughed? Yeah, I'm going to have a baby. I'm 89. Okay? And so they named him Isaac. Now, Abraham and Sarah are long gone. And Isaac is sojourning in the land, and he's getting to build a well. How many know that's a representative of a lot of things? How many want to believe that there's some wells of revival we need to dig up again? Because see, what your enemy will do, get this, if the descendants don't carry it on, the enemy, which in the Old Testament was always the Philistines, will come along and fill the well with dirt. You remember that? Now I want to take you to that account in Genesis 28 with me this morning. Go there with me to Genesis 28 and verse number 18. Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham. Say his father Abraham. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he gave them the same names which his father had given to them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek, because they contended with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over it too. So he named it Sitnah. And he moved away from there and dug another well. How many know sometimes you got to move away and get to a place where you can be fruitful? Amen? So he moved away from there, dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. Hallelujah. How many like it when nobody quarrels over your well? So he named it, everybody say this word with me, Rehoboth. Say it. It's a powerful word. Say it again. Rehoboth. For he said, now get this. I want everybody to read this out loud with me. You ready? At last the Lord has made room for us and we will be fruitful in the land. Say it again. At last, the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land. That is a word to us. Amen? We will be fruitful. He has made room for us. Now, next week, in the name of Jesus, we're going to be worshiping this story in our new room. And can I tell you, it's going to be for a short season. Because when I sense that others are coming in, that ain't going to hold it. But it's for a short season of transition over the Freedom Gate office suite. We've made room. The Lord has made room for us. And we're going to be fruitful. And again, by being fruitful, how many know, if you're fruitful, you're going to always be enlarging. Now, enlargement sometimes comes by way of that church in particular, you know, expanding its ability and to gather together with more people. But how many know, the really biblical way in the book of Acts, they enlarge by planting out other churches. How many of you know, no one church can serve Metro Phoenix? No one church can serve the Navajo Nation. Amen? Or the Apache Nation, or any place you want to pick, rural or urban. No one church can serve it. But can I tell you something? The way you grow is you get really strategic and apostolic, and you raise up leaders, and you plant again. Amen? And you put your stake in the ground, and you dig another well. Hallelujah! Y'all see this? The Lord will make room for you, and we will be fruitful in the land. I tell you, there's a season coming of great apostolic and prophetic wisdom that's coming upon the remnant bride in this hour to grow again, and we will see a revival in this nation that everybody calls hardened, and everybody says it's too bad of a ground to work with, but I say it's a good ground in the name of Jesus. And even this generation that seems not interested in God, they are primed and ready to receive Christ when they see the living Christ and not our religion. Hello, when they see the kingdom of God being manifested in the earth. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. That was prophetic in the name of the Lord. We arranged some things over there. Some of the stuff that used to be over there is in my garage and in Daniel's garage. And if you would like for us to use your garage, just wave at me. We're trying to make room for the most important things. Y'all know our trailer got stolen off the parking lot, and I'm already believing for much more than a trailer, so don't worry about it. I'm not sweating. I'm really not sweating it. That kind of thing, just kind of like devil, sevenfold. Restitution, you know. You shouldn't have messed with me. Now you got to give me seven trailers. You know, whatever. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, it's just the way it is. You know, we got to think that way. We got to rejoice always in everything. Give thanks. God's got us. Amen. Hallelujah. And when outreach season begins again, as far as like when we needed the trailer, that God will have us provided for. It'll be provided and ready to go in Jesus' name. Not worried about it at all. But as we begin to go, we've rearranged some things. We made some room. The wall mainly is so that our children, when we're worshiping, when we take the children on over, they can just, within the same suite, just go in that door. And it's up to the ceiling tiles, and they'll be able to have their ministry time in there, you know, with the ministers ministering to our children. So, but again, we always need to prepare for enlarging. Amen. You know, if we get to the place where we're never enlarging, that means we've suddenly either gone back barren or we're just not fruitful anymore. And let's not believe we're ever going to go back to that. Amen. Amen. But then we're going to go forward. For the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful. Hallelujah. We'll always need, though, to be ready to reach out. In reaching out, let me just say this to you. And sometimes in reaching out, you don't always reach out to people that are going to necessarily connect to like Freedom Gate. Maybe they don't live near us, or they're in another part of the valley, or we were doing an outreach on the reservation or whatever. Whatever that may be. Here's the point. But to not have a heart to connect people to the body of Christ is poor stewardship. To go out and people encounter God's power, we pray for them, we give them a word, and if we don't connect them to the body of Christ, they are not going to make it. A body part can't live without being connected to another body part. Amen? A perfectly good hand, if you cut it off, it'll die. Amen? And I'm telling you, there's body parts all over the place where evangelists have ministered, but we've not been faithful to connect them to the body of Christ. So that's why I said, when you stretch out your cords, make sure you strengthen those stakes. Amen? Because everything we do, yeah, we want Freedom Gate to grow, but in everything we do, we need to have that responsibility. Does that resonate with your heart? This is very important. I've always been evangelistic as a pastor, but I've always also been more pastoral than evangelistic when it comes to caring about what's going to happen with these people after we're gone. Amen? Amen? And so let's have a heart for that. Amen? Think about this. Jesus is called what? The good shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep. That's his heart. His heart is to pull his sheep in. Again, when he said to Peter, okay, you love me? Then take care of my sheep. So we've got to have that. How many want to catch his heart for this? We've got to catch the heart of it. Can I tell you, I've heard some diabolical things that I truly believe, and I believe some come from even ministers and people that try to downplay even the necessity for us to gather as the people of God and to worship together and to be the royal priesthood and to worship God and to be sheep within a fold and a flock. And I'm telling you, it's scary because I see the fallout from that. Some of those same people who trumpeted that very theology, so to speak, have now, they're not doing anything for the Lord. Because it's, how many of us, dangerous? What did God say in the beginning? It is not good for any of us to be alone. Hello? An island unto ourselves. Hallelujah? How many are glad for the body of Christ? I'm serious. How many know we could all be closer and more tight-knit than ever before? Amen? So why is the harvest so important? Go back to Isaiah 54. Let me show you a couple more verses. Look at verse 3. Here's why this is so important. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. Everybody say, reach out. And your descendants will what? Say it with me. Possess nations and resettle desolate cities. Hallelujah. What a purpose. What a destiny. Amen. Hallelujah. The only way now something becomes desolate is really the absence of the kingdom. The absence of light. Amen. That place becomes desolate. But God said, I'm bringing you sons and daughters that are going to repossess desolate cities. They're going to possess nations. Now that word for nations is the word that we get for ethnos, ethnicities. What it speaks of that our descendants are going to touch every tongue, tribe, and race of people. Amen? Every ethnic group will be touched and impacted for the glory of God by our descendants. Are y'all with me? Our spiritual sons and daughters have an awesome destiny. We do too, because we're part of the family of God. Are y'all still there? And we understand what God's calling us to do. You might say, well, how could something ever be turned around? I believe some of the most desolate places, we could call it the inner city, we could call it a depressed community or a nation or whatever, we could all probably pick out what we think is desolation. And I'm telling you, the only answer is the kingdom of God and salvation coming to the people of that community. That's the only answer. All the money in the world doesn't ever fix it. How many of you found that out? All the money in the world won't fix it. But the gospel of the kingdom of God and the glory of salvation in the heart of a man or woman, that will change a community from being desolate to being vibrant and fruitful again. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen. This is important for us to grasp this. And everywhere you see, like for example, Europe and a lot in America now, where the church has diminished, and now the great cathedrals of Europe are turned into art galleries and nightclubs. Seriously. There's desolation in their culture because of the absence of salt and light. Hello, guys. You take salt and light out of this planet, you think it's bad now? You take the salt and light out, it's going to unravel in a moment. Amen? We're carrying something that everybody needs. The hope of glory is in me and you. And I say, well, you're so proud and boastful. No, I'm very confident that the hope of glory is in me. And if I understand that, it changes the way I live my life. Amen? Hallelujah. So I ask you today, let's get in faith for our spiritual sons and daughters. Amen? And don't fear and do not be ashamed. For our faithfulness in this is the will of God. Our fruitfulness is the will of God. How many believe that? Our fruitfulness is God's will. How many know if it's God's will, you can believe for it? I think nothing paralyzes people more than fear and shame. Would you agree? I don't know if anything that paralyzes people from being salt and light and winning souls and ministering to others than fear or shame. Would you all agree with me? But if God is with you and God is within us, we shouldn't be in fear and we certainly shouldn't be ashamed because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Look at the next verse 4. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. And do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. Hallelujah. But you will what? Forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. Everybody say no more. We will not remember it. You know, to be humiliated is different from being humble. Hello. We're all to be humble. But to be humiliated is a whole other thing. I've battled with it. I've been in the ups and downs of ministry. I mean, I know what our old building used to look like, and I'm thinking, what are we doing? Let's be honest with you. I've had my disappointments. But you know what I found out? And I started to battle with the spirit of humiliation. I didn't want anybody to ask me how things were going. And maybe I've been there in some area of your life. I didn't want to even ask me how it's going, because I don't have to tell them. And the Lord told me, he said, your problem is you fear man more than you do me. You care more about what everybody else thinks. Hello? So when I talk to people now back home, I just go, hey, it's going great. Sons and daughters are on the horizon in Jesus' name. Amen? And this is what we got to think. Don't be humiliated. Amen? God's not going to let us down, for he is still with us. Hallelujah. Shout amen. Amen. Don't let the fear of man come in. You know, Abraham and Sarah had to deal with the shame of their youth. Think about it. When they should have been productive, they weren't. And then God comes along and says, oh, but you are going to be. There's another shameful thing. Remember, they tried to do it themselves. Hey, Abraham, lay with my maidservant, Hagar. And they tried to make it. They made Ishmael, not Isaac. Everybody knows the story. And so, I mean, no, they had some things. But even when they're contemplating with their old, they had to deal with the fact that the shame of their youth was not going to be a testament against what God was going to do even in their old age. Hallelujah. So I don't care how many years you might have thought you've not been fruitful. It's changing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I believe this with all my heart. I really do. I really do. Paul said it this way, forgetting what lies behind. How many know, if you don't learn to do that, you're going to wreck your car. If you drive through the rearview mirror, you're in trouble. Amen? I used to tell the youth group all the time, if you jump in the van with me tonight, all the kids, if you jump in the van with me tonight, and I just leave up the sunscreen and the windshield, and they say, what are you doing? I'm just going to use the rearview mirror. Kids will be bailing out of that van. Right? And we want people to follow us, and we're looking behind us. And Paul said, forget what life... But let me tell you what, Paul had to forget some stuff. He persecuted the church. He when Stephen was brought there and getting ready to be stoned, he nodded approval to killing Stephen. Don't tell me this man didn't have to deal with some stuff the way he was living his life. Jesus himself confronted him on the road to Damascus and got in his face, so to speak, with the glory of God. He said, Saul, you're persecuting me. Yeah. And we all know the story. He became the great Apostle Paul. Amen? And he tells us, forget what lies behind. And how do you do it? By reaching forward. Amen? If you want to forget your barrenness, not only do you shout for joy, but you start to press in to the harvest fields of God. Hallelujah! Say it's time. It really is time. Thank you, Jesus. And you may say, well, how can I forget? But the next verse, verse 5, look what it says. For your husband, come on now, your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of all the earth. Everybody look at me. Your Father God, your Maker, your Creator is extremely fertile. Hello? Y'all don't freak out. The kids are next door. Amen? He is not an impotent Father. Hello? Hallelujah. His Word is very potent. Hallelujah. Are y'all saying okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The Lord our God is with us. Can I tell you, though, something else is important? We can't reproduce sons and daughters without God. Would you agree? But with God, all things are possible. There you go. Amen? I can't do anything without God. But with God, I can do all things, and all things are possible to him who believe in. Hallelujah. That's all he's asking of us. He really is. He calls himself our husband. Jesus is our bridegroom. We're his bride. God used this language. God used these images to help us to understand the intimacy. Can I tell you today, heard the Lord say to me this week, if you don't get intimate with me, you can't be fruitful. Hello? If we don't get intimate, we can't be fruitful. Right. Worship is very deep in what God is calling us to. He calls himself our husband. And fruitfulness is the result of a body of Christ that's intimate with the Father. Because, you know, let's be honest, you can shout for breakthrough and then not become intimate. It would be like a bride and groom having a fabulous ceremony, right? And a reception and a party, and everybody going, yeah, it's the most beautiful wedding. What fun and what joy. And then they never consummate. You know how they consummate it, right? The two become one flesh. It's actually consummated. Cover Madeline's ears. It's actually consummated with intercourse. Close sexual intimate union, the two become one. So that's why people think, you know, premarital sex is okay. No, you're connecting yourself to somebody. But when the two become one, something powerful happens. Covenant is happening. Are y'all okay? And see, only in intimacy can I really be in covenant with God. Amen? You want to really get uncomfortable? Read the Song of Solomon and ask the Holy Spirit to tell you what it means. You'll be like, can I read this without an R rating? Relax, I don't have a video. Hallelujah. I love what it says in Hebrews about Sarah. You know, I love Sarah. God always loved people to be honest. Remember, he loved it when Nathaniel said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Remember that? Are you kidding me? That neighborhood, right? On that side of the tracks, as we used to say in the South, right? Are you kidding me? And yet Jesus said, oh, man, without any guile. Man speaks what he believes. At least I know what how he feels, and he doesn't hide it from me. God actually appreciates that. So Sarah, Abraham reiterates to Sarah the promise, and Sarah laughs. Dude, you've not paid attention. You're almost 100, and I'm almost 90. We've never made this happen ever. Right? Can you imagine? So she laughed. But you know what it says in Hebrews about Sarah? Here's what it says. By faith. What do I say by faith? Sarah received the power to conceive. How many of you want to receive the power to conceive? I'm serious. I'm talking about spiritual sons and daughters. How many of you want to receive the power to conceive? I'm serious. And look what it says. Even beyond the proper time. For she considered he who promised as faith. That's Hebrews 11:11. Amen. And I tell you, don't let the devil lie to you to make you think, well, you guys have gone way beyond the proper time. If you were going to be fruitful, you would already be fruitful. How many already didn't let those lies go? Amen. I'm serious. How many of you forget what's behind you? I'm serious. This is where we're going in Jesus' name. Everybody say fruitfulness. And can I tell you, I truly believe. What did Jesus say? He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. And the part that makes us really nervous, it's bad enough to try to do what he did. And how many of you can't do what he did without intimacy and anointing? But the greater works. And I'm convinced of this. I don't think it has to do with quantity. And I'm sorry. You can't get me greater than raising a dead man from the tomb. You can't get me greater than a leper being cleansed. Come on. Are y'all with me? You don't trump those miracles with something grander. But I believe with all of my heart, the greater is something that we could do that he couldn't do because he was going to become the sacrifice so that people could be born again. Are y'all with me? To me, the greater works, that's why it's the greater joy. Yes, does God want to see people healed and signs and wonders confirm his word? Absolutely he does. For he's the same God. Are you with me? Sometimes he will confirm that word to somebody who's getting ready to get to saved because they saw God touch somebody else's life. Right? But the greater works is people being saved and prodigal sons and daughters coming home. Amen? Sons and daughters. That's the greater work. I'm convinced that's what that meant. And no matter how helpless you have felt regarding winning people to Jesus, if we will take God at his word, if we will begin to shout for joy, amen, at the promise of numerous sons and daughters, I believe the Lord will give us the power to become fruitful. Amen? And you're going to find yourself in opportunities and situations to start leading people to Jesus like never before. Does anybody want to receive that power? I'm serious. Hallelujah. No more barrenness. Come on, say it. No more barrenness. In Jesus' name. And again, it's so important. I want you to imagine for a moment what it would look like if we really saw our spiritual sons and daughters possess nations and we settle desolate cities. Literally, what joy would that be? They'll go places that some of us will never go. Are you with me? Some of them, you know, one thing about America, it's full of ethnicities of all types, right? Especially our major cities. It's full of ethnicities of all types, and I believe many of them are going to go to their actual nation and take the gospel of the kingdom in places that it's not been preached. Amen? And I tell you, it's an exciting thing to know that's what God wants to do, but we cannot have shame about our past. I don't know about you, how many of you have felt this way? It's not that you didn't want it to happen, but you just felt ineffective. My hand's up. I felt ineffective. I know how to preach. I know how to lead worship. I love God with all my heart. Sometimes I just feel ineffective. And I begin to realize I've got to be really, really careful. I can't let my past be the blueprint for my future. Right? The blueprint for my future and for our future is here. Amen? The book of Acts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm challenging you. It's okay. Don't want to hype you. I want you to receive it. Even though I do try to hype you some. The thought I want to close with before we pray is this. It is in your spiritual DNA as a born-again child of God, as a new creation in Christ Jesus, to give. It's in your DNA. Hello? It really is. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, right? But what? Say it. But Christ lives in me. Now get the picture of that. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So Christ the giver lives in you and me, right? Therefore, we're givers. Now the enemy may lie to you that you're not a giver and you don't know how to do this and you don't know how to be fruitful and you don't even know how to get intimate with God, but that's a lie. Because if you're born again and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, He lives in you now. And He's a giver and He's the lover of your soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Think about that. What are we investing in our lives? What are we putting our faith in? Many people put their faith in their old life instead of a new life. Hello? Actually, the Lord addresses that. He said, if we do that, we're being deceived. In Galatians, again, look at chapter 6, verse 7. You know these words. Do not be deceived. God is what? Not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, everybody say the old man, come on now, will from the flesh reap what? Corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, well, from the Spirit reap what? Eternal life. Keep reading. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And, well, we went there in worship today, right at the close. So then while we have opportunity, everybody look at me, opportunity abounds. Hello. We live in a dark city with a lot of problems. Opportunity abounds. Would you agree? Come on now, look at it that way. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good. Talk to me. To all people, and especially to those who are the household of faith. Hallelujah. Guys, we're in the same family. Don't avoid your family. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Don't be deceived by sowing your life and putting your faith in your born life. Put your faith and investment in your born-again life. Hello? Hello? When you do that, you'll find you can dramatically break free from the old man like never before. Amen? And put on the new man. Hallelujah? Anybody want to do that? Glory be to God. That's what I'm speaking to this morning. That's what I'm speaking to. I can't speak to your old man. I can't speak to your old life and get you excited about winning souls. Because let's be honest, our old man is selfish. It's all about me. But the new man is a giver. The new man is a light bearer. The new man is salt and graciousness and life giving. Amen? Filled with the word of God and anointed by the Spirit of God for such a time as this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor in spirit, to the afflicted, and to the hurting, and to the downcast. You're God's ambassadors. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Our fruitfulness is the will of God. Say amen. Amen. And His zeal will accomplish this if we'll go after souls. Amen. And we will not be ashamed. And we'll forget our past. Say, keep saying amen. And we'll do it by pressing forward into what lies ahead for us. Our husband is our maker. Amen. Therefore, we're incredibly fruitful. Hallelujah. And He'll give us the power to conceive, the power to win the lost, if we will only believe. All that's said and done, all that's good and excites me. Does it you? Yes. All that's said and done, make your total commitment to first be intimate. Draw close. Draw close to your husband. Everybody know the language we're using here, right? This is spiritual language. Draw close to your husband. Amen? Because in that intimacy, we're going to see fruit. Hallelujah. And this room won't hold it. The suite next door won't hold it. It's going to take numerous church plants to hold what God wants to do. Amen? But we got to get fruitful. Hallelujah. 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 I guess I'm being loud because all it tells me to do is to be loud. So every time barrenness seems overwhelming, the memories of barrenness overwhelm my heart, I just start getting loud. And you know what? I forget all about my barrenness. I start getting excited about my sons and daughters on the horizon. Hallelujah. He said, you will see them come from afar. I won't tell the southern joke. Not a fire. But they will come from afar. Amen? From afar. I love what it says in the Psalms. He said, I will speak unto the north and unto the south and to the east and the west, and I will say, give them up! Hallelujah! Let's get loud. Let's start to declare some things for God in the glory of God. The Lord has made room for us. And we will be fruitful in the land. Amen? I hope this encourages you today. Hallelujah. But there cannot be the fruitfulness of harvest with no laborers. I challenge all of you. Everything we do in serving, giving, attending, helping out others, that's wonderful. Do good. But the most doing good thing you can do is to labor faithfully in His harvest. Every one of you could say, Lord, I'll volunteer in your day of power, and I'll go forward in your name. And we have to be willing to do that, because it's not just one or two little guys that we call evangelists. It's going to be a move of the body of Christ, the army of God. Repentance, when you talk about repenting, it's not always about a sin in your life. It's about getting back to what you're called to do. Amen? It's a heart change. It's a change of the way you think. It's a change of the way you see the future. It's a change of the way you see yourself in Christ. And it's very important that we repent. Amen? Repentance is a heart thing. But you know, how many know, every point of repentance is a choice. Like when you got saved and you repented to be saved, I mean, you made a choice. You made a decision to believe in Jesus, that He died for you, right? And so you make that choice, you make that decision, and that's how repentance goes. For me, I mean, no, that's not enough to make a decision and just walk away, but you got to keep with that in your life. But I believe if we don't ever make any decisions, if we don't ever make any moves toward God in this, we're not going to see it break out. God loves true repentance. He honors it. He'll bring refreshing to your life and revival to your life. And get this, my favorite part, He will give you grace. When I say grace, to help you. Because grace is made perfect in our weakness. You know, I'm not really good at this winning soul stuff. Stop saying that and call for grace. Because what God loves to show off through people that will make the world go, how's He using her and him? You mean He used a little child? Yes. Amen? Anybody ready for it? I said, is anybody ready for it? Make room. Let's make room. Let's be enlarged from within and without. So make a choice this day. Let's make a choice. Choose this day who you will serve. I like to declare this, me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Amen? We're going to labor in His harvest field. We're going to be fruitful. And we're going to multiply in Jesus' name. So, let's not miss out on the greater joy of giving. See, you know, when I matured as a child, how many of you loved Christmas? Come on. Why? When you were little. Come on, go back. Presents. Well, what are we like?
Receiving.
Hello? And I go through all of that and I said, is this all? Christmas morning? Is this it? None of you ever said that. Is this it? And then Mama said, well, Grandma and Grandpa are coming over for lunch. Oh. Hope they don't bring me clothes like last year. Yeah. How many of you love receiving?
Yes.
But can I honestly tell you, when I started working, my first job, I was 13. And I, 13 years old, I was stocking groceries at a little convenience store. And back in the day, to show my age, they were bringing all these nasty bottles to be sorted. They were returnable bottles, Coke bottles. You know what I'm talking about? And people got money for their bottles, and I had to sort these nasty things out, all sticky, full of ants and everything else, and put the Dr. Pepper together and all that. Anyway, so that little job, I made a little money. And I did it initially because I was all into music, and I had to have money to buy my guitars because Daddy was not going to buy me anymore. And my mom and dad, in 72 or 3, I can't remember, they bought a new house. We never lived in a new house. Nobody else ever lived there before. It had been built out in the community where we grew up. And we had never had a fireplace before. And we're going to have a fireplace. And I said, I got to the point where I was making some money, and now I was getting excited about blessing. Even as a little kid. I didn't get saved until I was 20 years old. But I switched. How do you know? Get this. When you mature, you become a giver. When you're immature, all you care about is getting blessed. Don't get offended at me. Don't get offended. Just grow up. Because when you grow up and get mature, you know what you care. Because how many of you know, there is more joy in blessing somebody. There's greater joy than getting blessed. I have a hard time receiving blessings. And I've had to humble myself in that area too. Because I've had people come up to me as a minister and they want to bless me. And I've got to learn how to receive. Susan's rebuked me many a times. You should have received that. How do you know what they weren't giving you? Amen? And for me, I'm not trying to drag this on, but I will. We had the fireplace with the hearth. It was beautiful. The house wasn't that spectacular, but the fireplace was, I don't know, for me it was just something very unique. You know, to have a fireplace in the house, and the hearth, and my mom already had plans for it. But how many of you know, most fireplaces, you really need to have a nice screen in front of it, and with the doors and the hardware to do the logs and all of that. And my mom and dad didn't have that, and so I went over to Sears where my mom worked. It's not there anymore. Most Sears stores are not. But I went to Sears and I found this beautiful fireplace set, and it was expensive. And I saved and saved all through the fall because I couldn't wait to give that to my mom and dad. I wanted to see their face when Ricky, their little boy, gave them that fireplace set. And my mom just started crying. And I'm telling you, how many know, when you watch, today, when I watch my grandkids, and we give them way too much, but when I watch my grandkids receiving, it blesses my heart. Today, we're going to go and see these kids receiving their gifts and just blessing them. How many know, that's the joy of it. I hope none of you are going to walk around with your lips stuck out because you didn't get something. Please tell me you're not going to be that way. Hallelujah, we'll pray for you this morning. Amen. How many know? I wanted to share that with you because, and I realized what it was. I was growing up as a young man. I was about 13, maybe 14, and I was growing up. I was starting to realize this is a lot more fun when you're giving and not just receiving all the time. Do y'all receive that this morning? Amen? In your heart. Because I tell you, as we mature, we should desire and want to give the greatest gift of all, Jesus, to everybody we meet and know. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand up with me. I'm going to pray over you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you just put your hands out in front of you? I just got through telling you to be a giver, but I want you to receive this prayer. Amen? Would you just get in a posture to receive right now? Father, I pray this morning for everyone in this room, and I pray for our friends that will be watching this video this week, our friends and loved ones who aren't with us today. And Lord, I just pray that the revelation would come to all of our hearts that you have truly made room for us, and that you've called us, Freedom Gate Church, and every person in this room to be fruitful in the land. And Lord, I shout hallelujah today for all of our numerous sons and daughters who are coming forth. Right now, shout. Go ahead. Come on, shout, shout, shout. If you're buried, shout and break it off.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. And I pray over each of you today, and I declare to you today that the Lord Jesus has come and He is inside of you. Amen? That your old life is just that. It's your old life. You no longer live that life. In the life you now live, you live by faith in the Son of God who lives within you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray with me right now. Lord, you have surely made room for us. We will be fruitful. I believe that my old man no longer lives, but now, Jesus, you live in and through me. I choose to draw near to you, to become intimate with you, Lord, to know you more and more, to go deeper than ever before, that I may be fruitful in the land. For I, Lord, declare today, I am your vessel. O Lord of harvest, raise me up. Enlarge my heart. Enlarge my heart for such a time as this. Give me the grace, O Lord, to take advantage of every opportunity to love and to give and to do good to all people, and especially to my brothers and sisters in the family of God. I pray these things today in the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, the lover of my soul. I bless you, Lord Jesus. And in your name I pray. Amen.